This episode was recorded a few months back at the LA Coffee Fest. And, you know, since then, my leadership team and I have had the chance to fly over to Durango, Colorado, hang out with Durango Joe, actually Joe Lloyd himself, and his team, and get to see their operation and see how we at Anthem Coffee could become better. And we're super stoked about the future of what 2020 has in store as we apply some of the things we've learned from Joe and his team. They are absolutely killing it with 12 locations over there in Durango, Colorado. He runs Durango Joe's Coffee, and they're doing an exceptional job. They bake and make all their own stuff. They have an incredible roasting partner, Delano's Coffee Roasters out of Sumner, Washington. And they're just about loving people and serving doggone good coffee. So I hope you guys enjoy this interview with my co-host, David Rand, as we spend a moment talking with Joe Lloyd of Durango Joe's. Well, here's the deal, guys. Again, Brian here with my co-host, Dave Rand. We are at LA Coffee Fest. This is the third show of 2019, and we have an incredibly special guest, one that is so near and dear to my heart over the last 4 or 5 years. Joe and I, this is Durango Joe, ladies and gentlemen. Joe and I have been able to teach a class together, helping coffee business owners learn from our mistakes, tune up their businesses, and really just create a firm foundation to grow upon. So I'm really excited to spend some time with him, get to interview him a little bit. David, you know him.
You know what? I know Joe well. And Joe and I actually have mutual friends, connections that go way back to our roots.
Way back, yes.
I don't know if we're going to get into any of those details, but, you know, when we first had the idea of the podcast, the number one guest that we wanted to get on the show was Joe Lloyd.
True.
And I've learned more from Joe than most people. Now he's laughing. He's getting all blushing.
Hey Joe, we're not blowing smoke.
This is a real deal. Joe is is one of the most genuine, kind, smart, hardworking people I've ever met. You inspire me every day. So thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Joe Lloyd, ladies and gentlemen, Joe, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me here, guys. This is awesome.
Yeah.
I never knew. It was so, cash. We're kicking back.
We're super cash. We're literally on the show floor of hashtag Coffee Fest in LA. But Joe, I want to explore a couple things. We're going to ask questions as you kind of share your story a little bit, but take us all the way back to the moment you transitioned from whatever you did before coffee to, like, why was it a bright idea to get into the coffee business for you?
I'm not sure it was. To be honest with you, just because I had no idea what I was getting into. And in a sense, you know, I turned 35 and I thought, you know what, if I'm going to do this, because I'd loved coffee, I'd gone to lived at the coffee shop, and because the job that I had kind of allowed me to do that, just hang out and meet people and stuff like that. So, but anyway, yeah, my wife and I decided when I turned 35 that we would do this, and we didn't know what we were getting into. We knew that it would probably be tough, but not as tough as it ended up being. And but it's taught us a lot in life. I mean, built some good character, perseverance, the whole nine yards.
Now, when you set out to open the coffee shop, did you ever anticipate growing to 12 stores? Did you expect to grow beyond even one store? Tell us about how that came about. And
I think once we built our first store, I caught a bug. I mean, a literal, like, I can do this over again. I mean, I could open it. There's other locations we could do this. And so I had lived in the same town where Dutch Brothers had birthed their first store, you know. And so I watched them grow through the 90s and thought that was kind of cool. And then once I opened my first store, I thought, we can open another one. And then it just kept on going and going and going. And now, you know, after 15 years, it's 12 stores, so we're not Dutch Brothers, but we do have, you know, a going concern and a great group of people I work with that I couldn't do without them. It's just, there's no way. You got to have good people in order to have anything succeed in the business world. But yeah, it's all about the people and the teams that we have that we put together to make this thing work.
So Joe, now did we introduce him as the founder and owner of Durango Joe's?
I think it's brilliant to clarify.
This is Joe Lloyd.
Literally, they named the city after him.
Durango Joe's in a little town called Durango, Colorado. Yeah. And one of the things that
this is the proper introduction. I like this.
One of the things that I am so inspired by is in a town of Durango, small town of Durango.
18,000 people.
You have 9 stores within 18,000 people.
We have about 6 stores.
6 stores in Durango.
And then we have 6 stores in New Mexico, right across the border, which is about 45 minutes.
Right.
So it's not that far away.
It's not far away, and you have a high concentration of Durango Joe's there.
Yes.
So most people, when they think of opening, that would be way too close for them. Why have you found success in opening kind of right down the street, right around the block, within a mile or two?
Well, I think when we moved to Durango in 2004, there wasn't that coffee culture wave had not
even touched
that part of the country. And so there was only 2 coffee shops when I arrived. And so at that point, we were like, this town needs way more. It can actually facilitate more. And so that's where I saw the growth. I'm going, we could have one on this end of town because there was none. We weren't competing with all these other brands like you are in Seattle and the Northwest. So it was easy for us to grow and kind of capture the market in a way that nobody has ever been able to do it in Durango for any business.
Right, yeah, right.
And so we're kind of the first local franchise that has been birthed out of a Durango market. And it is a unique deal. And it's taken a lot of work and, you know, all that good stuff. But it didn't come easy. That's what people think. You know, hey, man, you did all this in 15 years, and the whole thing about that is it takes a ton of work. You sacrifice a lot.
What do you think has contributed to the longevity of your business, man? And, you know, obviously innovation is a part of that, like reinvention. What are some ways you've done that to stay relevant and stay open and stay scaling and growing and thriving?
I think it's being willing to accept the fact that you don't have all the gifts and talents to make it happen. And so you surround yourself with people that can fill in the gaps, that have your blind side, that, you know, can cover those areas you're not maybe so great at. And so from the beginning, I've been willing to allow people in my inner circle that I trust to help me run the business and really count on them and their expertise to get us to that next level. And so, but along the way, the next thing I think we did from the beginning that really helped us grow was we developed our systems, procedures, and processes in a way that helped us duplicate each, you know, time we opened a new location. So we had processes, we had procedures, we had strategies written down to help us grow. So we're still trying to do this, but, you know, make sure all the training is the exact same, making sure all the way we do things is scaled and written out, and it's in, you know, manual form and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Joe, we work with a lot of different people in smaller towns and things like that, and one of the questions that we get asked a lot is, well, where do you find great baristas? There's no great people or great baristas here. They don't know anything about coffee. How would you respond to that question, and how have you found success finding these people with amazing talents within your little community?
Yeah, that's a good question, because people ask me all the time, where do you get your people? It's like I beam them in from Mars, but it's like they don't exist. And the thing is, our why is that we do care about people. That's why we do what we do, because we care about people in every way. And so we want to hire people that have that same instinctual desire to be a bright spot in somebody's day. And so we have a pretty extensive interview process that really vets, you know, people through a system that we pick the ones that we feel fit our culture, because not everybody does. Not everybody can wake up in the morning and have that it factor about them wanting to be a bright spot in someone's day and put a smile on somebody's face and have that be their mission for five straight hours. And so it takes a lot of work to find that person. But so we have a lot of interviews. We say no to a lot of people. But at the end of the day, we end up finding enough people that have that share our why.
Yeah.
That we put them, you know, behind the counter, and we can teach anybody how to, right, make coffee, but you can't teach somebody to really super care about people in the ways that we want them to on a ongoing basis.
Most definitely, man. What are some, one, two, or three of, like, the most important characteristics you look for when you're hiring people?
Okay, that's easy. We got to, one, make sure that they do care about people. Two, we got to make sure they're team players. You know, because we're setting people up for success. We say that all the time in our language, the language that we use. You know, we want to set people up for success. And so that's part of being a team player. And then we also want to find people who genuinely care about coffee. Now, are they coffee lovers or connoisseurs? Maybe not. But we want to make sure that they have a passion about coffee. And number four is we want to make sure, too, that we find people and people – gasp at this when I say it, but they can give us a 2-year commitment.
That's out of the norm.
That's out of the norm. And
has anyone pot or quit before the 2-year commitment?
Yeah, we have a pretty strong statistic that is real. It's about 65% of the time it works. Okay?
I think what's really cool about it is that you're pre-framing the entire experience of employment with you by saying, look, 2-year commitment. We want to invest in you. We want to grow you. We want to spend time with you. It costs money to train you. And so we feel like that's the break-even point or the right amount of time that we would require from you to stay employed. Is that true?
No, it's totally true. I mean, you spend so much money on hiring and training. But we put it out there that we feel 2 years is a fair agreement. And like I said, it works about 65% of the time, but 10-15% of those that do leave is probably a good thing because we would like them to go anyway.
Sure.
And so, but at 65%, we are, you know, that's not a bad average.
You're saying 65% of your current employees have been there for 2 years or longer.
Yeah. And our management has been there much longer than that.
Is there a different commitment for management, or is it when they accept a role?
When they accept a role, whether it's as a shift manager or a assistant manager or lead barista or lead manager, it's 2 years.
Cool. So it's a reset.
It's a reset.
Nice. Wow.
How did you stumble upon Delano's, and how would you? Delano's Coffee Roasters has been our business building partner for 12 years now. I'm not sure how long for you, but how did you come about them, and what has it meant being partnered with them over these years to help grow your business?
How did you phrase the question first? How did I stumble upon?
How did you stumble upon these guys?
Well, they stumbled upon me, actually. It was a cold call. They called me out of the blue. I had no idea who Delano's was. In fact, I hung up on them the first time they called because the offer was so ridiculous. The fact that they wanted to be my roaster when my roaster shared the same warehouse that I was in. And so why would I move, you know, to another roaster when my roaster was right there? And
so you literally had a local roaster. You were fine. You're getting your business off the ground.
Great guy, great company that I was working with. And we were about year three into this coffee thing. And I was needing to rebrand the company something fierce because we knew we had a good product. We knew we had something, but we needed a fresh approach. And, you know, I was contacting companies that would rebrand us, and they were costing $60,000, $70,000 to rebrand the entire look of Durango Joe's.
And you had them in the wrong business. Two
right?
stores at the time.
I had three stores at
three
the time.
Stores at the time.
Yeah, three stores at the time. And so we knew that that this was going to be a costly venture, and I'm not sure at that point we could even afford it. And so Delano's calls again out of the blue, and they, before I could hang up on them, they were like, wait, don't hang up, we've got some people on the line here that want to talk to you about what we do. And I'm like, dudes, you didn't hear me the first time, And they go, no, just slow down. What are some of your goals? And I said, all right, we need to rebrand, and I need some business advice. And they were going, that's what we do. We have a department that will come alongside you and actually help you in your design, in your rebrand. We have a full department that just assists our customers doing that. Plus, we have a business division that will help you if you have questions about how to run the business and blah, blah, blah. And that, unfortunately, was something that our current roaster was not providing. They were providing great coffee, but as far as those extra services, they weren't doing it. And most coffee roasters, to be honest with you, don't. But the Delano's does, and I think that's what sets Delano's apart from the competition, is they see this thing as a relationship, as a partnership, not just with coffee, but with everything else you got going in the coffee shop.
When you win, they win.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Joe, I appreciate you saying all that, and the reality is you could have done this all by yourself. You didn't need Delano's to come in and help and support the way that we've been able to. But by allowing that partnership to happen, would you say it's accelerated your growth in some ways?
Boosted your confidence.
Boosted the confidence, accelerated the growth. There's things that we're providing or provided during the, that was key in where you were at the time?
You know, I wouldn't say that I could have done this alone. Because I don't think I could have, to be honest with you. I think there was an intervention, and in a sense of, you know, allowing, you know, me allowing Delano's into my business to be a, become a partner changed everything.
Wow.
No, it was a game changer. It added direction. It added meaning. It added a why to Durango Joe's that we didn't have before, because they came and helped me develop a story around why we do what we do. I had all the words, but I didn't have a package. And so they really created that story, that package deal that allowed me to take it to the next level in a big way. And so, yeah.
Really good.
So, I mean, it's, I'm really not, you know, trying to, you know, pat you on the back too hard. I like to, but, the point is it's true. And, you guys have been a partnership, and our growth has just continued to be more and more almost every year since we've partnered with, you know, Delano's as our coffee roaster.
It's incredible, man. You know, Joe, we get a lot of people who are aspiring coffee business professionals, those that also have a desire to open their own shop someday. And, I mean, what is some honest feedback you could give somebody? Say I was coming to you going, hey, I want to open a shop someday. What's your knee-jerk reaction? What's a couple pieces? Like, where do I even begin?
That's a great, scary, huge, awesome question. Because, I mean, even 15 years later, after we opened our first store, I mean, it's not the same, really. The competition is way more, there's way more competition than there was. And things are very expensive. Our margins are not getting any thicker. They're thin. And, I mean, the price of paper cups and all the stuff that makes, the things you have to have in order are expensive. And so you have to know what you're doing. You have to know that, and you have to get good counsel. One, I would just say, make sure you get the advice of somebody that's...
Advisory team yourself?
Yes. Yeah.
How does that function, and how? Why has that been important for you in the years?
Well, it's been... More important, one well, most important for accountability. So in the early years, when I was just running and gunning, I really didn't have a ton of accountability. And then when the recession hit, you know, a lot of things hit the fan, and we realized we were not running this thing quite as tight as we should be.
And so, when you're talking accountability, you're talking that's for fiscal responsibility, for or leadership,
culture, everything.
So we will meet twice a year, and, you know, I present my – and these are businessmen in our community.
There's
is this a volunteer advisory board kind of a thing, people that you've hand-selected that
believe in you, want to see you succeed, and they want to come around you?
And then they get invited to our Christmas party, which they love every year, and I recognize them and things like that. But they are an inner circle of people who are not directly in business to, or my competition, you know, but they are in business. They run their own businesses. But so it's been a good group to bounce things off of and get a completely different out of, you know, left field kind of sometimes advice that you would have never thought of. And so,
not even in the same industry, but totally applicable to just the just business.
Yeah, business sense, common sense stuff. And because half of the businesses that are successful, 90% of it, I think, are common sense, you know, principles that really make businesses successful. All a lot of common sense stuff.
Hey, Joe, we're getting to the end of this session here. Time's running out here. But we do a feature on our show called the Rapid Fire Reflex Round.
This is fun.
Where we ask three questions. Yeah. Or five, three or five.
There's and no prize money involved, no unfortunately. Money. There's you no right win. Answers.
But you basically have 3 seconds to answer the question based
like
on your...
reaction. If
yeah.
You
so...
And you're going to come up with these questions on the spot.
I'm going to do it on the spot. I'm going to do it on the spot.
Dave always comes up with the best questions on the spot.
Can I say this before we do it?
Yeah.
You know, have you watched Netflix, the movie, you know, Mad Men?
Yes.
Have you?
I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
I've only heard good conversations about it, but
well,
talk to me.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's from the 60s. It's an advertising company. It's awesome. But Dave Rand is Donald Draper. I just want to say that to all the listeners out there, Dave Rand is Don Draper.
Let's just clarify that this is looks only. This has nothing to do with the lifestyle,
oh, personality, choices.
The personality, lifestyle decision that Don made
on the show.
Yeah, on the shows.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Joe.
I would not characterize you in any light other than the looks. That's
he's basically daggum handsome.
Oh, that's you guys are too good kind. Looking, all right. Good all right. Looking. Okay, guys, here we go.
How did you get such blessed with such great genes? Gosh!
Rapid fire reflex round. Here we go.
Get it.
Say, what piece of advice do you wish you knew that you know now when you started?
Cash. Make sure you have cash. A lot of cash.
Nice.
What will the Denver Broncos records be this year?
9-6.
9-6, he said, for the record.
If you were going to be a missionary somewhere, what country would you be a missionary to?
Probably El Salvador.
That's it, folks. That's all I got. And that was quick.
I got one
great
question.
Okay.
Need your rapid fire reflex. Here we go. What's your best way to recharge in life?
I oftentimes, 4 or 5 times a week, I go for a bike ride, and the last year have been introduced to paddleboarding, which is very, very awesome. It just, clears my head. Love it.
So fun. That's always a fun little spot just to kind of see what happens, what pops out of those conversations. The last thing we're going to end on, Joe, is just what's next for Durango Joe's? You know, what does the future look like? We know it's bright. Tell us a little bit about where you're at now and kind of where you're heading, and then we'll wrap this thing.
Absolutely. That's a great question, and actually I love talking about it because it doesn't involve brick-and-mortar growth in our company right now. We are settling into about a 2.5-year period of getting better before we get bigger, and so we're dialing in a lot of procedures, a lot of policies right now. We're getting some new equipment as far as POS systems. We're dialing in all of our security systems, our cameras, getting everything just cleaned up.
Wow.
And so when we do grow in about 2.5 years, when we go further south into Albuquerque, we're going to have everything primed, ready for that next stage, that next level. Absolutely. Yep. So, but it's going to take us about 2.5 years. And to be quite honest with you, my people need the break. Our team, we grew, 5 stores in about 24 months. And so, and 3 of those were from the ground up. So full on.
Lots to manage.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was like one on top of the other, and it's been good, but it was very, very daunting to, you know, get it done. And so, yeah, but we're there. We're feeling good.
Well, Joe, I thank you so much for your story. I love getting the opportunity to kind of draft behind you and watch you as you grow and learn. I mean, you've spoken some really wise things into my life and helped guide me and coach me along the way. And I'm thankful for our friendship and, yeah, man, I just wish you the best. We're thankful for you telling your story, and I hope this helps some people out there.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe. And I'll just say, if you've never been to Durango, and if you have been to Durango, you know there's not much better than a perfect Durango day.
Oh,
and so head to Durango. If you're in Denver, not too far from there, go to Durango. What can you do there, Joe? You get like
a lot of skiing.
Oh, it's the
outdoor hiking, fishing, everything.
Yeah,
basically,
it's a
little piece of heaven.
It's mountain bike mecca there. I mean, people from all over the world come and ride and hang, and so there's a lot of outdoor sports. It's the thing that really makes Durango a lot of fun, and a lot of people would love to live there.
Yeah.
It's just very expensive to live there.
Yeah.
But we get a ton of tourists every year coming in and enjoying the outdoors and getting a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
Cool, man.
That's Durango Joe's, everybody. Joe Lloyd, Durango Joe's, Colorado. That's, I think they should name it Durango Joe's, Colorado from now on.
Oh, I like it.
That's
like
the
it.
City where Joe comes from. Okay, guys, we'll catch you soon. Peace. Cool.